All right, that's enough. I'm just going to keep my face down and look at my notes the entire time. It's not easy. Just trusting God and doing what you feel He's saying. And it's coming up on 2 years ago now. Bizarre that we felt like God just said that our season of leading was done, or my season was leading. I won't say we, but my role specifically in the context of Good Life was going to change. I had no idea what that meant at the time, and I presented it to our executive, and most of you know that story by now. Whether you choose to believe it or not is up to you. But God really spoke to my heart and to the leadership heart. And I said to them back then, I don't have anywhere to go. Like, I'm not going anywhere. And over the last year and a half, people have actually verbalized the question, he's still around? This is the truth. I had nowhere else to go. This is my community. This is my place where I've been privileged to invest myself for these last years. And it's a place where Donna has continued to pour herself out in both the context of cafe and worship and so many other ways that people don't see. And I am honored to be able to share. This is our last Sunday. We leave the coast next Sunday morning. We are returning to the US, not to the way things were. We again don't know what lies ahead, but our kids have invited us to come and make home there and be grandparents for a little while, and can't think of anything better than doing that right now. So that's what we're doing. Beyond that, but that's how it was when we came here and I met Merv 18 years ago nearly. Before I head into this message that is taken from the 9 beats that is on Jesus' words on justice, or some of his words on justice, I want to say thank you to, and I'm not going to say many things, but to those that I've had the privilege of walking with in life, in loss, in death, in sickness, in marriage, in the birth of kids, all these incredible seasons of life that I've really been honored to share in. I'm jealous of those who are baptizing Betty next week. I'd love to be a part of that. I might just push her in the pool anyway, just call it done. I am so grateful to the leadership here who entrusted the care of Good Life to us all those years ago. What a beautiful season it was. I'm grateful to 3 men particularly I called my horsemen. Men I've studied with, written with, been challenged by and challenged. And Daniel and Ryan and Shane, you've shaped me, and I pray I've shaped you. And to so many others. But there's no one I'm more grateful to than my wife. Who has challenged me, encouraged me, cried with me, shaped me. I want to start this morning. I had to get that out of the way. Because now I want you to just hear what I feel I'm privileged to get to speak on this morning. Because this is my heart in so many ways. And when Ryan said, hey, do you want to speak? And maybe would you speak this week? And I was like, you know, that's my last week here. And at that point in time, he didn't. But I feel like I couldn't leave you with a stronger encouragement than this passage from the 9 Beats, the Beatitudes of Jesus. But before I get to that, I want to set the stage with a passage which changed my life, and I hope changes yours. If you are here for the first time today, if you've never heard the good news of Jesus before, if you don't yet understand how much God loves you and longs for you to know that, I pray you would this morning.
John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, and I'm reading from Eugene Peterson's translation of it in the Message.
This is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son, and this is why. So that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting or enduring life. God did not go to all the trouble of sending his son just to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help. He came to put it right. He came to put it right. And this is what I'm going to come to in this space, but this is also what we in turn have been entrusted with. And that is that we engage in putting things right. That we in turn, transformed by Jesus, become agents of right or righteousness. I really, really liked listening to some of those things our youth said. Stuff needs to be put right. And this is what we find here. And in our world today, there's no time like now that stuff needs to be put right. Wrongness just seems to be accelerating. Darkness just seems to be accelerating. And we often don't know what to do with it. Do you ever feel paralyzed by it? What do I do? Here's what Jesus said, recorded in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. This is the beatitude we're looking at today. And there's two versions you'll see come up here on the screen. The first is what's called the New International Version, and these are both fairly commonly read versions at the moment. New International Version, or NIV, says this: blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. The New Living Translation, it's what I'm just reading at the moment, it says this: God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. Now you might look at that and go, wow, that's the same verse, but it actually says two different things. One version says you hunger and thirst for righteousness. One says you hunger and thirst for justice. Unless we understand what those words mean or what the correlation of those words are, we can get adrift from what was actually meant there. So me personally, I actually like to do a little bit of study, and I go and I find the original language words and I have a look at that and go, you know, what was it originally saying? And I personally find it interesting, and I know you will too, so I'm going to tell you what it is. Because there is this great Greek word, and forgive my pronunciation of them, but it's dikaiosune, dikaiosune. And it means this: equity
of character or act, specially justification and righteousness. The root of that, because Greek words all like build themselves, as many of our English words do, off other words. The original word or the root of that there is dikaios, which means, again, equitable in character or act, by implication, listen to this, innocent, holy, just, meet, right, or righteous. And I don't want to get bogged down in language and words, but it is important to grab a hold of the original stuff and anchor ourselves so we don't just drift off on our own ideas of what it's saying. And to hunger and thirst, we all know what that means. To hunger and thirst is to find this need, and it's a physical need that we yearn or we crave something that is going to satisfy that dissatisfaction. Something that is going to satisfy that need that I am so desperately feeling. To hunger and thirst is to yearn in such a way to be moved to find a remedy. Okay, let me say that again. To hunger and to thirst is to be moved in such a way as to find a remedy. We know it physically. We go to the cupboard, or we go to the fridge, or we go to the tap, or we go somewhere. I don't know if you've ever found yourself so hungry that you'd almost eat anything, or so thirsty that you would pretty much drink anything. I did. And I got so sick because I drank dirty water, but I was so thirsty I had to drink something. I was trekking in Mexico. I didn't take fresh water with me, and I got to the point I was so dehydrated, I was dizzy, and I just found a tap. You don't do that in Mexico, but I did it. But I knew what it was to long so badly. I had to do something about it. And this is what Jesus is talking about when he uses these words. And he says, blessed are you, or you know God's favor on you, or you know the presence of God with you, when you are moved so deeply and desperately that you've got to find a remedy for the things that are wrong in this world. This is the call of the redeemed people of Christ. This is the call of the church. Now, it's true that the world is a mess right now. And we don't have to look globally. You can look locally. And we see things that you just go, man, it's wrong, but we tend to sort of hide away or avert our gaze and look somewhere else. But I hope you might be stirred to just find what your part is. Because the truth is this, we cannot afford to settle into accepting injustice or unrighteousness as a condition that is unchangeable. Let me propose it to you this way. If you accepted the hunger and thirst in your physical body as an unchangeable situation, you would die. Let that sink in just for a second. Because it's true. If you accepted your hunger and thirst in your natural body as an unchangeable situation, you simply would fade away and die. But the same is true for our communities. If we accept injustice or unrighteousness as an unchangeable condition, that we are not moved with a thirst or a hunger to change it, our communities will slowly die as well. We are the agents of righteousness. And so if we consider those things, we land somewhere close to this statement with this beatitude. I propose it like this: God is with us or for us when we yearn for or crave godly design and practice, both in us and through us or around us, for then we'll be satisfied. Blessed are those who are dissatisfied with unrighteousness and injustice reigning, those who are not okay with it. But I also say this: to truly be a part of making things right, we need to recognize our own need to be made right. The root of unrighteousness or injustice must be dealt with. And I'm going to say very simply that that's what the cross of Jesus Christ was about. There was no other way for the brokenness, the rebellion against God to be satisfied or justified and unfulfilled without it being met in Jesus. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 and 24 say this: for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God or the perfection of God. All of us, we all failed. But I love verse 24. Listen to it. It says this: but we are justified freely through Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to pause just for 1 second. Because that word justified, you are justified freely in Christ, is the identical word used in Matthew when it says we crave, hunger, and thirst for justice, for justification, for just things to be made right. It's the same word, that we are justified in Christ. And that's why I say that work that is done in us in Jesus is what is carried out through us that brings the rightness and the goodness to this world. It's not just me doing nice things so that people live more comfortably. We live in a nicer world. God's purposes are so much bigger than that. There's a passage I'll come to, I'll jump way ahead of myself because I get excited about this stuff. I really do. This is the hope we have. We are justified, we are made right, and because we are made right by faith, we in turn get to live out this gift of making things right, bringing people to Jesus, but then also being about doing good. There's nothing we can do to remedy the injustice of being separated from God. That is the work of Jesus. We respond in faith and accept his gift of forgiveness. What's so incredible to me is Jesus saw, and please listen to this, Jesus saw the injustice of the control of sin and the rampant destructive effects of it on this world. He saw the injustice of that and it moved him to what? Go to the cross. He chose that. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He gave his life so that we could be free. That should be enough to stop us right there. And somehow he saw that as good. That cost he considered worth it. That cost for you, for me, he considered worth it. And it demands a response. It just does. We can't just ignore it. But when we're made right in Jesus, we are then empowered to be agents of right. We are empowered. Don't ever think that you don't have what it takes to do good. Christ in you is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than anything you could ask or think or imagine. That's awesome. We can be agents of good. We can be agents of change. Christ in us desires it too. It's easy to feel overwhelmed or powerless at the idea of engaging some of the gross injustices of this world. Like we are moved emotionally by the plight of many people in many nations. And the reality is there's not a whole lot more that we can do in those situations than pray and have a voice. We can have a voice in political spheres, contact local members, etc. Those are about the extent. Some of us were moved because we knew families in the Ukraine to send money and to get that to them in their efforts to escape. Like we found that opportunity and some of us here engaged that. But there's not much that I'm going to ever do except through prayer to change the heart of world leaders. And so what we have to ask is, what are the things that I can do? Because we can get so caught up and worried about those things at that level that we end up doing nothing. And so what we have to do is pray that those who are in positions to change things like that, that they engage it too. But what can we do? What can we do about the injustice of child labor in sweatshops? Well, choose what clothes you buy. Choose how you buy clothes. We're concerned about pollution. Good, so consider what you can do about the use of plastic. Like, these are really genuine, simple things that actually are works of good. When I first began leading here, to the misunderstanding of a few people who didn't really get it, because this gathering matters probably more than anything else to some people. I cancelled the morning gatherings to go and do what? Clean up Australia. And people were just like, wait a minute. That happens on a Sunday and church trumps picking up rubbish. Well, I think rubbish. Because we were given a mandate in the beginning to be the caretakers of this world. We were. And I said this right at the beginning. If I came into my house and found someone had dumped a bunch of rubbish on a photograph of my wife, I'm not going to look at it and go, huh, bummer. Sure hope someone cleans that up one day. Man, I'll do everything in my power to clean that up. But what we've got to understand from Romans is, in everything God created, He revealed His divine nature, His eternal power. It's His illustration of His presence in Himself. So let's clean it up. Okay, that's enough on that one. But I want you to understand why these things matter. And we can be involved in those campaigns, like look under the label. Like, thank you. Buy your stuff through thank you if that moves you. Support children through compassion. We're big on that. Find something you can do and do it. Just watching can cause an action paralysis, but there are things we can do. I truly believe this. Enough little things add up to really big things. You don't believe me? Think about a raindrop and a flood. It always starts with the first drop. The first snowflake, which just melts away on your finger. But enough of them and you got a blizzard. And it will stop entire cities. It's possible to bring about change. I remember a story, and you've probably heard it, but it's worth repeating, of the fella who's walking along a beach and there's just all these beached starfish. And he bends down, he picks it up, picks one of them up and throws it back into the ocean as far as you can see these starfish. And this couple walking towards him say, you know, you must be a tourist here. And he says, well, what do you mean? He said, well, we just saw you throw a starfish back in the ocean. And listen, this happens every day here, day in, day out. There's nothing you can do to change it. And he picked up another one and he threw it in the ocean. He goes, I made a difference to that one. And this is the thing. Who are the ones
that we can make a difference for. Because one becomes a flood or a blizzard that can stop people in their tracks. And this is the sort of thing that Jesus is talking about. Change begins with us. It's a changed heart that leads to a changed life, that leads to a changed way of living. Never short-circuit it. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says this, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago." We're redeemed in Christ. What for? To wait and die and go to heaven? No. To do good stuff while we have breath. The things that God purposed in His heart so long ago, He then says to you, "Hey, you want to be part of it? You want to come and join this? You want to make change? Come on." Hunger and thirst for righteousness, and then you'll be satisfied. It's not just so that the world is a better place or a nicer place, as I said before. It's about this, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. And understand, this is in the same context as the Beatitudes. 5 verse 6 is what we just read on justice and righteousness. 5 verse 16 is this, "Let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will feel better about themselves." Really? That's sometimes how we live it out, but this is what it says. Let your good deeds shine before people so they in turn will praise your heavenly Father. So that they'll get a glimpse of what He's like through what we do. Justice, righteousness, worked in us, through us. I believe this. That the product is the way of living is goodness. So here, this leads me to where I close. It leads me to leave you with one of my favorite and most motivating scriptures. And it led me to really lead the way I've been shaped to lead. And I believe this is God's call for good life. And it's been entrusted to us since the very outset. Galatians 6, 9 and 10. Let's not get tired of doing good. For just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, wherever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone. Especially to the household of believers. Or what Paul writes there is it goes without saying, take care of your brothers and sisters. But as much as you have opportunity, do good to who? To all. Man, that's an incredible statement. And don't get weary in it. Sit down, take a breath at times, rejuvenate, regather. But get on with it. Good life. Church family, whether you are in Scotland, and I know you sat up tonight to watch, or the United States, or other parts of the world that people tune in from to gather with this community, keep going. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Good life. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Do not become weary to the point of paralysis that we no longer have effect. Don't become weary in loving. Don't become weary in serving. Don't become weary in giving yourself and spending yourself on behalf of anyone you can. For this is why Jesus redeemed, saved, forgave us, made us righteous. So we, in turn, can be agents of righteousness and justice and goodness. For blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. God bless you and thank you.